You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting. Welcome to Truth Hurts, right here on Renegade Broadcasting. This is Kyle Hunt. I'm not filling in for Charles here, especially since I have nothing prepared. But I do see that he is viewing the conference, so hopefully he'll be connecting shortly here. He might be having some issues getting connected for some reason. So we'll just wait on him to show up and do a great show for you all. Hopefully, if he is having issues, he'll be able to contact me and I can give him some suggestions, such as restarting the computer.
This call is being recorded.
Here we go. Charles, welcome.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No problem.
I knew that was going to happen eventually. I was reading. Sorry about that, folks. Several times in the past, I've told Kyle, wow, I logged in just in time. I was reading, I got distracted, and I looked up and didn't realize how late it was. I just had a feeling eventually that was going to burn me, and sure enough. Usually I look up and it's like 5 minutes of, I'm like, whoa, I got to hurry up and log in. This time it was like 7:59. I'm like, what? I totally lose track of time. Once I start reading, I forget it. I shouldn't bother. I don't know why I do that. I'm always wanting to fill every moment of my time without wasting it. But I always pay for it in the end. No, I hit a time warp. I literally hit a time warp. I start reading. My God. I'm saying that all the time. You know, my girlfriend will call. I'm like, wow, I just looked at the clock and it was 5:30. How did it get to be 7 o'clock? That just happened last night. I couldn't believe it. Literally, hours will go by, and I'll think it's like 5 or 10 minutes or something. It's really bizarre. I just become totally oblivious. Goddamn house could be on fire, and I wouldn't even notice it. I don't notice when I'm hungry. And for those who know about my appetite, that seems hard to believe, but I don't even notice my appetite sometimes when I get busy working on something. I just totally tune everything out. Bad habit. Bad habit. Got to friggin' start setting my alarm 5 minutes of to make sure that doesn't happen again. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. It was crazy. Anyway. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Yeah, sure enough. I had some videos sent to me yesterday about the shooting on Friday. It's so full. Shit, man. It's unbelievable. No question. You got actors. It's probably the goddamn thing didn't happen. Although it's hard to explain that in light of the confession of the guy that he was CIA controlled, trying to justify what he did. Maybe he doesn't know what the hell he did. You know, he's just seen on the news and realized, because that happens with MKUltra mind control people. They don't know until they're arrested. Huh? What? You know, Sirhan has no remembrance whatsoever of being in the kitchen that evening. Does not have any recollection of being there. So, you know, I guess that does make sense in that context. He's explaining if he did, maybe he thinks he did and he didn't. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Or maybe he did and doesn't remember and doesn't think he did. Who? Or thinks he did when he didn't and is going along with the story because he doesn't know, but figures, well, I guess I did. If they said I did, I must have been there. God damn it. In any case, it doesn't matter, guys. It does not matter. The fact that he showed up at an FBI office back in November and said that he was being mind-controlled and forced to watch ISIS videos and, you know, trying to be recruited. That's it right there. It's over. Somebody sent me a video of... or it was an article, I guess. It had some videos, clickable videos in it, about some 10-year-old kid, I guess from England or something, that is obviously MK-Ultra, who's working for ISIS. Oh, shit. Yeah, are you freaking kidding me, man? Obviously, MK-Ultra kid, guys. They don't care. Age, sex, it doesn't matter, man. They'll frig with anybody's head and destroy anybody. In fact, it looks better to have a young kid involved. That, you know, that helps to show just how sick these terrorists are, you see. Look at them. See what they do. They even recruit young 10-year-old kids. Hand them a gun. Look how sick these people are. When they're the ones doing it, isn't that the tribal way? To project their crimes on others. And all the while, nobody perceives the very ones who were guilty of these crimes are the ones that you can never talk about, you can never point a finger at, you can never mention in a derogatory sense. Not even one of them! Or you'll get that magic label. I said my... Oh, Christ. And as always, the swelling masses suck it up every time. They lap up the puppy vomit every time. Willing participants in the mass deception program. Willfully deceived, pridefully deceived. Why, they'll wave those banners everywhere they go. They're happy to be lied to and happy to help spread those lies and will demonize anybody who says otherwise. Just like, again, religion. Oh, the parallels are striking. These people will absolutely cut your head off, literally or figuratively, it doesn't matter. They'll become your sworn enemy. They'll be patting you on the back 1 minute, and the next minute, you know. Again, guys, when I look back at the bullshit I went through, you know, over the Trinity, people who formally, and I wasn't even questioning the Bible. I was just questioning the almighty church authorities. To most religio dupes, it's one and the same. If you question the church authorities, you may as well have completely renounced the Bible and Jesus himself. For some, it's not that way. You know, they don't trust the religious authorities either. But no, most of them, guys, most of them, they're so caught up in the bullshit of it that they will defend their religious leaders every bit as much as they'll defend the Bible. And they'll take offense every bit as much toward you if you question their leaders as much as the Bible. cut you off just as quickly. Attack you, demonize you. It's amazing what they'll resort to, guys. It doesn't matter how close you were to them. You might have been a real buddy, an old chum, hung out with them, gone on vacation with them. It doesn't matter. The minute now you are labeled as a heretic because you either question the church leaders or the Bible, either one, you become their sworn enemy now. They'll talk about you. They'll look for anything they can get on you, whether it's true or not. They'll grab that and run with it and claim now that, you know, they can discredit you and everything that you found out just on that basis, that rumor that they heard or whatever, you know. They'll grasp at anything. See? We don't need to listen to that guy. His findings are of no significance. Did you hear? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, they love it, guys. They will gobble up anything they can hang on you. That way there, they don't have to worry about addressing the arguments you've raised. They're the most heartless, downright evil fucking bastards. They really are, guys. Most of them. They really are. They're fucking downright evil. They'll turn on you in ways you couldn't even have imagined before. And now you see them for what they are. They're not loving people. For the most part, they're not. They're very, very fucking hateful people. But you don't see that side of them. Even if you're not part of their in crowd, even if you're not a Christian and never have been, you'll never realize how fucking evil they are unless you've been in that situation. You were one of them. Now you realize the whole thing's bullshit. You've dedicated yourself to exposing it. Now you see their barbs in ways that nobody else ever will. In fact, they won't even believe you when you try to tell them. Christians are, for the most part, they're actually fucking evil. No, they'll think, oh, that's exaggerating. No, you. Because they've never seen that side and probably never will. Christians, will never show that side to you if you haven't been one of them and turned against the faith. You won't see that side of them. They'll always be nice to you because in the back of their mind, even if you told them you're not interested in religion, as long as you haven't argued vehemently with them, against the Bible, they'll always see you as a potential convert someday. So they'll be nice to you. They might not hang out with you because you're not filled with the love of Jesus. You haven't professed him as Lord and Savior. But they won't write you off as totally evil and call you names, blah, blah, blah. As long as they see you as a potential convert. Only if you can competently argue with them and expose the Bible as bullshit, then you will get to see that side of them. You will become aware. You'll come to realize that, oh yeah, holy shit, look at that. These people were never my friends. Like I said, guys, when the whole thing broke out about the Trinity, I couldn't believe it. There was one couple, me and my ex used to hang out with. I mean, we were like, joined at the hips, as they say, Siamese twins, Wherever they were, we were, and vice versa. We vacationed together. We did everything together, went everywhere together. As soon as the whole Trinity thing blew up, that was the end of it right there. Over. Never heard from them again. A couple times over the years, I've run into them. It was so awkward. They wouldn't even look me in the face. Hi. They couldn't get away fast enough, So pathetic. Just because of my Trinitarian heresy. But phonies to the core. Anyway, looks like we got a call on the line. Welcome to the show, caller. Or maybe not. I'm just probably calling it to listen.
Yes, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, buddy. Sorry, man.
Thanks.
But anyway, it's so disgusting, guys. And that's not the only couple. There was another couple, too, that we used to do things together. We both had young kids, so we'd get together. Our kids would play while we were talking in the kitchen, or, you know, we would go places together. Yeah, we took quite a few vacations together. They used to tell us, oh, you guys are our friends for life. We love you guys. How many times they would tell us that? Every weekend, and sometimes during the week, too, we'd get together, but mostly on the weekends, because, you know, we were both busy working, both couples. But every weekend, we were together. They were at our house, and we were at their house, you know. As soon as the whole Trinity thing, and they were with me on the Trinity thing. They read my book. They agreed. But as soon as they realized where this led to, oh, the church fired him, and that my name was blacklisted now across, that was it. That was it. That was the end of it. The friendship was gone forever, out the window. I couldn't believe it, guys. The very afternoon of my post-mortem inquisition, you know, I couldn't wait to go and tell them what happened. They didn't attend because they weren't invited. They weren't allowed to. They only selected, hand-selected a few that they allowed to go. Ah, what a fucking scam, man. But anyway, I couldn't wait to tell them, you know, wait till they hear the horse shit that these bastards pulled. You know, the lies that they tried to pawn off. You know, I thought that, you know, they were going to be shocked as I was, you know, that things went even worse than we imagined they would. The lies. Anyway, I get there and stone fucking cold, man. They wouldn't even look us in the eye. You would have thought that, you know, we tried to rob them or something, or threatened them with physical harm, or, you know, did something just completely off the wall. They wouldn't even look at us. You could cut that coldness with a knife, man. It was so pervasive. It was like these were different, totally different people that we never knew. Literally now, whereas just the day before, we were their best friends for life, you know, best friends forever. And now, the stone cold shoulder. Absolutely fucking pathetic. The husband went outside to pick weeds just because he couldn't think of anything else to do to distract his attention away from me so he didn't have to face me and look me in the eye. So I followed him out in the back. And as he's picking weeds, staring down at the ground, he's mumbling under his breath, basically, Charlie, this is going to create too much problems, too many problems for me and my wife. As you know, my in-laws live upstairs, and they've already expressed that they don't want us hanging around with you, and it's just going to cause too many problems. I'm sure you can understand, so we just can't be friends anymore. Holy fuck. In shit. You gotta be kidding me. I thought I had seen it all until that afternoon. And of course, as I turned around to walk away, in absolute mortal shock, I see my ex coming out with the same look on her face, and we walked toward the car. I didn't have to be told what just happened with her. She stayed in the house in the kitchen talking with the wife, you know, because I already knew. Sure enough, I get in the car, the same horseshit story. She couldn't look at my ex, you know, face to face. God fucking damn it. She got the same routine. When we first walked in, too, the in-laws were down in the kitchen. They usually kept to themselves. They stayed upstairs. You know, they didn't bother us because they knew that we wanted to hang out together. You know, we were the younger crowd. So we rarely ever saw them. This time, they obviously saw us pull up. They made a point to come downstairs for moral support. And all they did is give us blank, cold stares. Previous to this, on the occasion that they were downstairs, usually for a minute or two, and then they would go up, they would leave us alone. But But, you know, we got a friendly welcoming, a handshake. Oh, hey, how's it going? If they happen to have gone to church that day, they would congratulate me on the sermon. Oh, nice job. We like the topic. You know, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Nope, not this day. Today was a totally different story. Cold, downright hateful stares. That's all we got from them. Didn't say a fucking word. They stood there with their arms folded. I mean, you know, if they had laser beams attached to those eyes, they would have burned fucking holes right through us. God damn it, guys. I just could not believe it. Couldn't believe it. I don't think any psychologist could even fucking explain that shit. They would just say, wow, I wouldn't even bother. If people like that came to me for help, I'd say, no, I'm going to waste my time. Not going to waste my time. There's nothing you can do to help people like that. They're gone. Forget them. How do you even explain? How do you? Wow, man. It's so fucked up. Hateful. Very, very, very hateful people, ladies and gentlemen. Cold. And that's how most of them are. I'll tell you right now. From the church that I, you know, worked with. I was there for 4 years. Got to know these people very well on a very personal level. You know, they would call me and tell me all their personal problems, looking for advice. And that's just what happens when you're a pastor figure, you know. Not that I wanted to hear these problems. I mean, I like to help people in whatever way I could, but sometimes I got to be honest, it was downright upsetting to hear some of the stories these people would call me up with, because you know, it starts to shake your faith after a while. You people that you looked up to, you know, seniors even, that you thought were so grounded in the faith and they helped to strengthen you, and now you realize, my God, I can't lean on any of these people anymore because they're fucking leaning on me. I thought they were so strong in the faith, and yet they're expressing these doubts. Jesus Christ, you know, you start to wonder, are there anybody, is there anybody that is, you know, as true to this thing as I am? I mean, I'm the only one who left that church when I did, I mentioned this friend and his wife, the only two, when I got fired, they're the only other ones that left when I did. And he, you know, to this day, we'll still talk about it, and we'll marvel looking back at that same conundrum, you know. We marvel that it appeared like we were the only ones, me and him, you know, and our wives, were the only ones that actually were following this horse shit. We thought everybody else was just as dedicated to it, but no, and, you know, we didn't just notice it then when this whole thing blew open. We had been noticing it for a while. That, you know, on the Sabbath, for example, remember Seventh-day Adventist people, Saturday is the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, we would see other Adventists doing things that, you know, were supposed to be forbidden. You're not supposed to do that. People who were claiming to be vegetarians, or at least following Ellen White's dietary plan, or the Book of Leviticus, Chapter 11, which forbids the consumption of unclean meats, we would notice that there were a couple that were sneaking, cheating on the side, and actually eating pork once in a while. You know, just on and on and on. Just, we were shocked to see that, wow, these people really aren't following these rules at all. We were the only ones doing it, you know, and now looking back, well, it's obvious why, guys. It's all bullshit. It's all fakery. I think deep down inside, a lot of them know it. They just go through the motions when they're with fellow believers, you know. Just for window dressing purposes. But really, ultimately, a lot of them, they just are a part of this shit because it's a social club for them. So they go through the religious motions, you know, so they can maintain their status quo, but they're not really dedicated to it. They really don't care. And, you know, it was those kind of people that condemned us, or, well, me anyway, for my Trinity position. Yeah, well, and my friend, too, who left. You know, it was those people, the ones who really weren't interested in the, you know, following those rules for the right reason. They were doing it for the social aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? They were the ones who spoke the loudest and condemned us the most. Imagine that. Oh, the whole thing, God damn it, it's just so fake. But anyway, enough of that. But aside from all the problems that exist in the Bible itself, the fire-breathing dragon bitch God and all the inconsistencies, just the inconsistencies of the believers themselves, the whopping bulk of them, when you look at that factor, guys, that alone destroys the claims of legitimacy of that religion. It does. It absolutely does. Jesus himself said, the gates of hell shall not prevail, you know, against his church. Gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, really? Seriously now. In order for you to think the gates of hell have not prevailed against the Christian church, you would have to redefine what the gates of hell are supposed to be, because when I look at it, the entire history of it, Protestant and Catholic alike, I see nothing but the gates of hell. And I'm not just talking the Inquisition and the Crusades. I'm talking about the individuals within the goddamn thing. The whopping bulk of them, ladies and gentlemen. These people suck ass royally. Extremely hateful fucking people. Oh, on the surface, they, you know, they're great actors. They should be employed by Homeland Security as crisis actors, because they're real good actors. A lot of them seem to be nice. They talk nice things. They'll smile at you. They'll wave at you. Unless you're in a situation like what I was in, then you get to see that the overwhelming majority of them, they're phonies, guys. They're phonies to the fucking core. All right, enough of that. Jesus, I burned off the show with that shit. We're getting into our Unabomber discussion, guys. We'll get back. Stick with us.
One side of World War II. They don't want us to know the real history of what happened over 70 years ago, seeing through the eyes of the German victims. The horror of the terror bombing, the mass rape of millions of women and children, the torture and murder of civilians, the death camps for surrendered soldiers, the ethnic cleansing of whole countries, and the planned extermination of the entirety of the German people. After watching Hellstorm, you'll never see the good war and the good guys in the same light ever again. Watch for free and get DVDs at hellstormdocumentary.com.
Yeah.
All right, guys, welcome back. Sorry for that long rant, but guys, this is a very big, big part of exposing the crimes of the tribe. That goddamn religion, oh, Islam too, the same thing. That's, you know, if we lived in Europe or in the Middle East, I'd be probably talking about Islam more than Christianity because the effects of that abomination are so prevalent there, not so much here. But, you know, the Abrahamics across the board, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, it's all the same shit, guys. The devastating effects of that shit, just that alone, never mind all their other crimes. The devastating effects of that alone has absolutely paralyzed society. Still doing it today, but especially you look back in the Dark Ages, my God, the entire world was ruled by this abominably detestable religion. A lot of Christians would take offense, you know, when you say that that's Christianity. They'll say, no, that was not real Christianity. That's that, you know, twisted perversion of Christianity, the Catholic Church. Well, what do you think your version of it is? Jesus Christ, man. If you could go back to the early centuries, in fact, the first century, to the age of the original apostles, you would see another version of Christianity that doesn't match up to anything that exists today. How does that grab you? Every generation has their own version of it, but you know what? Every single one of them has sucked. Every single one of them. Even though they have all differed vehemently so from one another, they've all sucked. How could they not suck? They all stem from the same shitbag. Wow, man. What a mess. Look how much this has fucked society up and individuals up as well. Amongst other things, the Abrahamics, guys, now, all other religions have the potential to do this too, and very often do, but not to the extent that you have with the Abrahamics because of that exclusivist mentality it creates in the minds of its dupes. It makes you socially constipated. Oh, you might be able to socialize with fellow believers, and that's what most of them do. They just congregate with, you know, other believers. They'll move into Adventists are big on that. You know, they'll take over a whole town. And the next thing you know, Adventists from all over start moving into the area. You know, they want to be around fellow believers and disassociate themselves from outsiders. You become social misfits. You can't handle your surroundings outside of the familiar confines of fellow cultists, you know. That should tell you something right there. Something's wrong. Even the great Jesus prayed, "Oh, Father, I desire that you keep them not from the world, but from the evils thereof." In other words, he wanted his disciples to go out into the world, right? A lot of Christians don't do that. Or they might do it for 5 minutes. There, I put in my 2 cents for the week. I did my part of the bargain. And now I'm going to spend the other 99.9% of it with fellow cultists that I feel comfortable with. Oh, fucked up. They're very nervous around non-believing settings for a lot of reasons. Number one, oh, these people swear. I don't feel comfortable. But no, it goes way beyond that. They just don't know how to socialize with them. They have nothing in common with them. They see themselves, even though they won't admit that, they see themselves as so much better than everybody else. They're on such a higher plane. I remember one time, and then I'll shut up and get to our notes after this. I remember one time this fanatic came over to pay my mother a visit. My mother wasn't too crazy about her because of her fanaticism. But nevertheless, she would come over every once in a while. And there were a couple times I would hear her downstairs, you know, "You don't make him go to church," because this was when I was in my rebellious teen days, you know, got into drinking and partying. And Wasn't going to church anymore, you know. And she was down there trying to brainwash my mother into forcefully. And my mother's like, no, you know, that's a decision that is between him and the Lord, you know. And I'm sure the Lord will bring him around eventually. It's just a phase he's going through, you know, whatever. But no, this little fanatic little wench was trying to get, trying to force my mother's hand. Anyway, this one day, I got sick and tired of listening to her shit. I was debating whether I should go downstairs and tell her off and throw her out and say, how dare you come into my fucking house? Debating whether or not to do that or to employ another tactic, which I settled upon, which turned out to be more fun. I just cranked on my stereo some Led Zeppelin. Woo, man, there was fire coming out of her ass. She couldn't get out of the house fast enough. She bolted. I can't be around this. I'm sorry, Pat, she told my mother. That music is of the devil. I just can't be around this evil influence. Boom! Bang! I think I heard a sonic boom as she bolted out the fucking door. Got in her car and bolted down the street. In fact, that was the end of her. Oh, she would call my mother once in a while, but she never came back to the house again because the presence of the devil was so pervasive here. Ah, God damn it. Fuck them, man. Fuck them one and all. I have no use for pretty much any of them, guys. Like I said, I have a couple that I'm still friends with. They are very rare exceptions. Very rare indeed. They're not hypocrites. Even though they know I have no use for the great Jesus and all of his bullshit rhetoric and his not-so-holy book with all of its contradictions and inconsistencies and portrayals of their loving God as a fucking raging prick. In spite of all that, you know, they're still friends with me. Neither one of them are very big on organized religion, so that should tell you something right there. I think it's just a matter of time before eventually they finally realize, yeah, fuck it, this thing's full of shit. I'm hanging on to it for no reason. It's not doing anything for me. In fact, it's only fucking my life up. I think eventually they'll come around. But they're in the position that I myself was in just a few years ago. I had left organized religion in 1999. I didn't finally realize the Bible was full of shit. The whole thing was full of shit until 2010, so 11 years later. It took me 11 years. I was in that limbo state for 11 years. Left organized religion, done forever with it, never to look back, but just couldn't let go of that goddamn Bible. That's where these two friends of mine are at. Left organized religion, but still clinging to that book. Like I said before, I wish I could go back in time to, say, 2004, 2005, knowing what I know now, and talk with myself as a still-believing Bible dupe. I'd be curious to know what my response would have been, armed with all of the ammunition that I have now to expose that piece of shit book. I wonder what my response would have been. Maybe if I could cloak myself so that my former self wouldn't know that it was me that my former self was arguing with years later, you know. I'd be curious. I honestly don't know. I really don't know how I would have responded. Would I have done what most Bible dupes do? Would I have written myself off, not knowing it was me, whatever, you know? Would I have written myself off and just avoided talking to him because, whoa, that guy's off the wall. Why, he's of the devil. Or would I have listened and said, shit, I'm not going to give up my faith just like that, you know, overnight or in one shot, but you presented some serious issues here that I need to look into this. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Which is why I say I'm glad that my awakening came the way it did in piecemeal fashion, gradually, step by step over the years. The truth, guys, is so absolutely contrary to all the horseshit lies that we've been sold all our lives that it's not even feasible for most people, perhaps pretty much all people, to come to an awakening in one broad step. Most people just absolutely cannot do it. It's too traumatic for them. It's like when you're in a deep sleep in a nice dark room, you know, someone comes in and bursts the door open and flicks the overhead on. Your first tendency is to say, whoa, hey, what the hell? Turn that light off, man. You know, you can't handle going from the complete darkness to the bright lights like that. You got to do it gradually. You got to wake up, stretch, yawn a little, open up the blinders, let a little bit of light in. You know, it's not too shocking. The irony is, of course, when you're steeped in Christianity, you think you're already in the light. No, you're in the dark. And when someone comes in and tries to put that overhead on, it's too much. For most people, guys, and not just religion, politics, or anything else you're trying to share the truth with them about, you can't flick the overhead on in full brightness. You just can't. You got to drop little hints. You got to be patient. You got to be willing, in a lot of cases, to wait for fucking years for these people to come around, if they even come around at all. This is what sucks. We don't have time on our side. We don't have time to pussyfoot around like this and play these kind of games. But unfortunately, that's the only way to do it with most people. Yeah. How? Do you see how completely paralyzed they have us with their lies? Their religious lies, their political lies, you know, lies, everywhere you look. That people have so completely absorbed, become such an important part of their worldview that all the truth in the world, all the documentation in the world doesn't make a fucking goddamn bit of difference. It doesn't. They have fallen in love with bullshit. And they would much rather embrace that. It's much more comfortable. It's less upsetting. It doesn't stir the nest. They can continue to stay in their perpetual comatose state, their perpetual nap state, by continuing to believe those lies. Now you want to come along and upset all that? I have all my apples in order in my cart here. You want to come and fuck that up on me? How dare you? I've worked hard all these years absorbing the bullshit like a sponge, and now you want to come along and... So disgusting. All the lip service they pay to that word truth, guys. But the truth is, they don't want the truth. They want the lies they've been sold to be the truth. And they only want to associate with others who will buttress the bullshit and continue to convince them that the bullshit they've been following is the truth. Ah, it's so fucked up, man. What a world we live in. Once again, let me off this fucking ride. Let me off this ride. Jesus Christ, man. You ever do that? I did that once as a kid. Oh, my God. It was one of those friggin', I think they called it the teacup. I thought it was, you know, a kiddie ride. Holy shit, that thing was horrible, man. Like I said, give me a roller coaster any day. I love those things. But that thing, the base of it spun, while the individual seats shaped like teacups that you sat in also spun. And then I think the thing tipped up, too. So that one minute, you're looking at the ground. The next minute, you're looking up at the sky. Then you're looking to the side. The ground, one minute, is slanted to the left. Then it's slanted to the right. Then you're upside down, almost. I mean, whoa, man. I felt like I was in a fucking blender. No. I'm surprised I didn't throw up. I was so sick to my stomach. I yelled out, stop it. I couldn't. I just couldn't take it. Torture. Let me off. Let me off this fucking thing. I couldn't wait to get off. Oh, and then you get off and my head is like, oh, blah, 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 blah. It's spinning. No. I don't mind upside down, you know, on the loop-to-loop roller coaster. You still have your center of gravity. In fact, you have your center of gravity in tune better. Because the, you know, the G-forces are like 2-3 times. You ever try to lift your leg off the floor of the seat you're sitting in? The you know, the roller coaster cart you're sitting in? When it's upside down, try doing it sometime. You can't move it. G-forces. It's so strong, you can't even lift your foot up. Pretty wild. But, you know, I don't mind that. You still have a center of gravity when you're upside down. You're not going topsy-turvy. You know, your semicircular's not getting all screwed up. Anyway, my point is, just like I wanted to get off that ride, I couldn't take it. This ride here, guys, it's so dizzying. It's so fucked up. Drop the ride, let me off. God damn it. There's got to be a better world than this. Catch me the next fucking shuttle ride to Planet X or something. If I could do it, I would do it. Hopefully bring a few loved ones with me, family members, some friends. But other than that, I would not miss this fucking place. I wouldn't miss it at all. Not at all. Goddamn nightmare. People ask me, you know, you don't believe in heaven or hell? Oh, I certainly believe in hell. We're living in it, guys. This world is hell. And it's mostly because of what the tribe has done to it. Oh, there's, you know, there'd be evil things you got to deal with anyway, aside from the tribe. Just death, disease. That would still be here. Although you'd see a lot less of it, though, wouldn't you, except for the tribe? They created many diseases. They brought people to an early grave with their bullshit, frickin' fraud medical system, fraud inoculations, fraud this, fraud that, food additives, poisons and toxins in the goddamn air you breathe, the water you drink. But nevertheless, aside from them, even if they weren't here, there'd still be evil things in this world that would make it, you know, would still ruin it for you to some degree, but nothing like what we're seeing now, guys. This world should be, a relative paradise compared to what it is now. A good many of the diseases wouldn't even exist out there. The few that do, they would have a cure for them available. You wouldn't have to bust your ass 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week just to pay your bills. Everybody would be living comfortably. Technology, especially now, would easily facilitate that. You wouldn't have to work more than frickin' 10, 15 hours a week with a decent, livable wage. The greed factor wouldn't be there. Can you imagine? There would be government programs out there that would really be designed to help you to, you know, you wouldn't have to go into fucking debt to go to school. There'd be government programs to train you. It would be to their advantage to do that. The more people who are out there in the workforce trained specialists, the better society would run. It would be better for you, better for society, better for the government, because the government would be interested in helping society move along. They wouldn't want unemployed people. They would do everything they could to ensure that everybody who, you know, was able to work would. If you weren't, for some reason, there would be real assistance there to really help you. And nobody would complain about that because they would recognize, you know, hey, we're glad that we're physically able to work. We have skills that we're able to offer to the world, and we enjoy offering those skills. We love our work. These people, unfortunately, aren't able to do that. They deserve some help. I don't mind that a small percentage of my check goes to help people. You know what I'm saying? That's how this fucked up world should, could, and would work. All right, I'm really rambling here. Jesus Christ, I got to shut up. I don't know why I'm in this rambling mode. Good thing I don't drink coffee. Well, I shouldn't say I don't. Every great once in a while, I do. I love it, actually. But I got to stay away from it for the most part because it's not good for you. I don't just mean the caffeine, guys. Coffee dehydrates you, even when it's decaffeinated. And if you have a propensity to high blood pressure, which I do, that's one of the things you need to stay away from. Anyway. So, get into these notes here. Jesus, I burned off almost half the show here. Sorry about that, guys. Wow. Get off on a rant this morning. just like I got off on a reading rant before the show and missed. Wow, I got to make sure that doesn't happen again. Jesus, that's freaking crazy. Anyway, Theodore John Kaczynski, a.k.a. the Unabomber, born on May 22nd, 1942. Man known again as the Unabomber, or the University and Airline Bomber, as he's sometimes called. Oh, guys, it doesn't matter which story it is, does it? Every time you put one of these things under the microscope, crumble to dust. They don't stand up to the truth test. On close inspection, every time you look at, I mean, that's what we've been doing the past few days, right? Looking at the, you know, the Son of Sam killings, looking at the JonBenet Ramsey story. Upon close inspection, every friggin' time, there's no exception, guys. Or, you know, last Friday's shooting, it doesn't matter. Every time you look at these things close up and you realize, oh my God, once again, CIA fingerprints. Once again, phony crisis actors. Once again, signs of MK Ultra mind control program. You know, on and on and on. Oh, and once again, very often with these things, they're pushing the gun control agenda. Here we go. Now, with this guy, it wasn't the gun control agenda, but you do have the CIA mind control factor big time with this guy. Big time. Sometimes with these fiascos, it might be that, and that might have been the case on Friday, if there was an actual shooting. Doesn't look like that at all, guys. Once again, you got the crisis actors, the whole thing's full of shit. But even if it was a real shooting, people died. Sometimes these things play out such that it might not even be the CIA directly responsible for one given shooting. Sometimes it's just these people snapping. They're programming goes haywire and the whole thing backfires. But you know what? That works to their advantage too. Even if they didn't plan a specific shooting, they still work it to their advantage. See, this thing is on the uprise. We got to do something about it. We got to take those guns away, you know. They don't care, guys. They just hope that the shooter doesn't target any of their people. Quite frankly, I'm really amazed that hasn't happened yet. Really amazed. I forget where it was. I read one time that it's estimated that at least 100,000 people have been MK-Ultra'd. Oh, guys, it's more than that. Maybe that's just talking about the CIA specifically, but around the world, when you add it all up, oh, God damn it, it's at least a million, I would bet. Maybe more. Maybe several million. But when you consider how many people, it's obviously a very large number of people that have been mentally tampered with like that. I'm really amazed that there has not been a lot more instances of these people going after the very bastards that fucked them up. Really amazed. Just like I'm amazed that we haven't seen people going postal. There's been a few reported cases, and you know those are real, where a guy goes to his place of work and, you know, shoots up his boss and several of his co-workers. I don't endorse that kind of thing, but when it does happen, I can understand. You know, on the occasions that I've heard stories like that, I feel bad for the guy. I do. I don't condone what he did, and I certainly feel bad for, well, maybe I don't. not the high level bastards if they shoot their boss or something. No, I can't say I feel bad for him. He was probably a raging prick. And probably got what the son of a bitch deserved. But nevertheless, just like, you know, let's pretend that Friday's shooting was real. I you know, obviously I feel bad for the victims, but I feel bad for the shooter in this case. If there was, I don't think there was, but if there was actual shooting, I feel bad for the shooter, guys. I do. I think he needs to be taken off the streets. But I think he needs to be shown compassion. If we had a real world that ran the way it's supposed to, he should be getting, you know, professional help from people that actually care about the individual and want to, as best they can, to try to undo the damage that's been done. You can't fully undo it. No, never. Damage done to him will be with him for life. But you try the best you can to normalize his life and give him the necessary, you know, support that he needs, whatever. But people like that need sympathy, guys. They do. But unfortunately, they won't find it in this world, the way most people operate. Once you've done something like that, and it is a horrific thing to do, if he, in fact, you know, did shoot people, that's a horrific thing to do, obviously. But people don't take into consideration the background of the guy, what happened to him, what drove him to this point. No sympathy, no understanding, no compassion, nothing. That's how our society works, isn't it? What? He did that? He said that? Context is never considered, as far as society is concerned as a whole. That doesn't matter. Lock him in a box. Treat him like a piece of shit, underfeed him, give him stale bread and water, you know, feed him, whatever, you know, demonize him. So fucked up. But we got a bunch of heartless, bullfast stuff in this world. All right, guys, show break, right back.
Circus Maximus provides an in-depth analysis of geopolitics, historical events, social engineering, and the Kosher Nostra, who are attempting to bring about a global, technocratic feudal system. Nick Spiro brings forth his passion and years of research, unveiling the esoteric agendas of the deep state, black operations, NGOs, think tanks, secret societies, ancient bloodlines, and controlled opposition movements behind the Jewish veil. Tune in live every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Renegade Broadcasting.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Mr. Kaczynski was an American mathematician, social critic, and anarchist, we're told, who engaged in a mail bombing spree that spanned nearly 20 years, killing three people and injuring 23 others. He was born in Chicago. Did I just say Chicago? The New England accent. Born in Chicago, where... As an intellectual child prodigy, he excelled academically from an early age, we're told. Kaczynski was accepted into Harvard University at the age of 16, where he earned an undergraduate degree and later earned a PhD in mathematics from the University of Michigan. So he was a prodigy, a genius from the beginning. Very often, guys, they swoop down on people like this, either because they want to use them for research purposes that don't involve, of course, you know, helping to advance society, make the world a better place. Oh, no, no. They want to use them for research into ways to fuck people up more, fuck up society more. Increase their control and their wealth, you know, whatever. But anyway, obviously, if that doesn't seem feasible, if the person expresses a disgust with government corruption and sleazy, dark agendas, then they'll use someone like this for other purposes. Okay, we can't use them, you know, we can't bend them in our direction. We can't strip them of their moral standards. Well, we'll take advantage of their genius another way. So they fuck with the guy. They tampered with him. Mr. Kaczynski, as we're going to see, guys, was quite obviously a victim of MKUltra mind control program. There you go. And why did they decide to use him in that way instead of for, you know, research purposes? Because obviously he had a conscience. He was outspoken about government corruption, guys. Okay, we can't use him to support our twisted agenda. We can't use his great intelligence in a positive way. Positive as far as they're concerned. So we'll destroy his life. We'll fuck him up and use his intelligence for, you know, to to kill people ultimately. And of course, society in general will look at cases like this and just shake their head in amazement. He was so smart. He could have made something of himself. Why? He could have been, you know, he could have found the cure for cancer. Yeah, as if they don't have that already. But you know what I'm saying. This is what most people would say. He could have been in the history books. He was a genius. Look what he did with his life. How does that happen? Not understanding how this bitch system works. When you have, you know, high intelligence like that, they either want to recruit you to work in a lab for them. They can't do that if you can't, without a conscience, you know, engage in the evil experiments that they want you to be a part of. Well, then they'll use you in ways like this. I think of that woman, Mary Sherman, who back in the 60s was working on what she thought was a cure for cancer. It turned out that she was actually part of a research team that was trying to develop ways to you know, to spread the disease. She was experimenting at the University of Louisiana there. In New Orleans, a research program that, as it turns out, was connected with Lee Harvey Oswald, or that Lee Harvey Oswald was connected with, as well as, you know, Joe Bannister, Clay Shaw, on and on and on. The whole Kennedy assassination cover-up, guys, they weren't just covering up the Kennedy assassination, they were covering up what was going on at that university. David Ferry was involved. He was providing the mice at the lab for the experiments. But they were developing an injectable cancer virus that could spread cancer, you know, in the victims that were injected with this solution. Unbelievable. Anyway, she didn't know that. She thought she was researching a cure. As time went on, it became obvious to her. She was, you know, a genius, probably a prodigy. It became obvious to her that the research being done had nothing to do with, you know, curtailing and stopping, you know, curing the disease. She started to become vocal. The next thing you know, she's dead. So this is what happens. They want to recruit you to get you to work for them in sinister ways. Hopefully without you knowing about it. Should you find out, they want to make sure that, you know, you don't have a conscience. If you do, they want to try to get rid of it. If they can't, ultimately, they'll either kill you or they'll induct you into their mind control program and then use you in other ways against your will, or what used to be your will, which they've destroyed. This is what they did with Kaczynski, guys. He wasn't going along with the program, so they needed to program him so that he would go along. He became an assistant professor at the University of California, Berkeley, at age 25, but resigned 2 years later. Obviously, he wasn't happy with the system. Why I never went into teaching, one of the reasons, my bad eyesight, but also I just realized I couldn't do it. Even if I didn't have bad eyesight, I couldn't monitor the class. Couldn't see what was going on in the back rows, and kids pick up on that really fast. But that wasn't even the main reason, guys. The main reason I never got into teaching was because I realized I wasn't going to be able to teach. They had so completely sabotaged it. And, you know, that was 16 years ago. It's got, or 17 now. But it's gotten worse since then. You're not allowed to teach real history. And so I realize now, I thought it was bad when I found out how corrupt the church was that I wanted to work for, and realized I wasn't going to be able to work as a minister. That was my original intention when I went to school. Very early on, I picked up a second major. I figured, well, I'll teach. Didn't take long for me to realize, son of a bitch, I'm not going to be able to do that either. Wasn't happy with the system. I recognized how fucked up it was. That's obviously what happened here with Mr. Kaczynski, or Kaminsky, whatever the hell. What's his name? Yeah, Kaczynski. He wasn't happy with the whole mess. He realized there was no place for him in it. He just couldn't function in it. He was full of shit. I remember I had a education professor in the education department tell me once on the phone, you know, you're just never going to be able to make it in the American education system. You're not a team player. And I said, oh, well, if being a team player means I got to kiss the hind parts of the system and do whatever it tells me in spite of the fact that it violates my conscience, violates common sense, violates the interest of the students. You're right, I'm not a team player. And then I asked her, but are you that kind of team player? You know, she didn't say anything to me at the time. She changed the subject. She didn't like that I asked her that question. But you know, guys, she came up to me a couple years later at my graduation, shook my hand, and she says, you know, Charlie, I never said anything to you about this before, but I do have to tell you, I respect you for not being a team player. Let me tell you guys, that to me was worth $1 million right there. She said, I'm also ashamed to tell you that I am a team player, that I have had to bite my tongue many times over the years and go along with things that I myself do not like. I do violate my conscience on a regular basis, and it's taken a toll on my health. Imagine that. She actually told me that. Couldn't believe it. Never thought I would hear that from her. She says, I don't like this system either, but I feel that I've been forced into it. I don't have a choice. I'm too old to go out and start over again. I'm looking forward to retiring in a few years and getting out of this, but she says, I don't like the things that I had to do over the years. I don't like this system, the way it works. I know that it's not about educating kids. That's not what we're teaching students here to do. She says, you were right. I just wanted you to know that. I shook her hand again. I said, thank you. That means a lot to me. I patted her on the shoulder. Never saw her again after that, but I really appreciated that. Wow. Her husband, by the way, this is an interesting story. I hate diverging again, but I got to tell this. I just mentioned this to a listener, in fact, last night, that sent me an email. He too, was a fellow former recovering, former Adventist. Anyway, I told him the story of how this guy who happened to be the husband of this, he was a professor, too, in the same department. He told the story one day of how this guy, his name was Desmond Ford. He was an Adventist several decades back. Started questioning one of the pillar doctrines in Adventism, Ellen White's little baby, called the pre-Advent judgment. It's a long story. I won't get into the details of it. But anyway, he recognized that this doctrine was full of holes. The Adventist Church's interpretation of passages like Daniel 8:14, you know. And he wrote a huge dissertation on it, thesis, proving that the Adventist Church's, and thus Ellen White's, interpretation of that passage and their whole position on this pre-Advent judgment doctrine was totally false, had no basis. Well, you know, the whole Bible's false, but nevertheless, the guy was right. And what they did to him is absolutely deplorable, absolutely disgusting. I was talking to him one day. His name was Roger Bothwell. He was the pastor out in California of the church that this guy, Desmond Ford, used to attend. And he liked the guy, Desmond Ford. And he told me, he says, you know, it doesn't matter whether I agreed with his theology or not. I didn't need to agree with it. He says, as it turns out, he made a lot of sense. I couldn't argue with him, but he says, it doesn't matter whether I agreed or not. My duty as his pastor was to be supportive of him because he wasn't a heretic. He wasn't someone who was trying to stir up trouble. He made a major finding, and he wanted people to know about it. He had every right to do that. And people had the right to hear what he had to say. But no, he says, to my shock, I got a call from the General Conference, the central office out near D.C. And he says, I was told to disfellowship him, to throw him out. No questions asked. There was to be no hearing to determine whether or not he was actually off the wall. It was already decided he was off the wall. That's what they did to me, guys, with the Trinity. No hearing. They fired me first and asked questions later. Anyway, he said they told him, as the pastor, you either disfellowship him or we're going to defrock you. You're going to be fired. Out in the street, lose your job. So he told me, that's why I'm teaching here today, the education department. He had another degree that he could fall back on. He was smart. It turns out a lot of the theology majors I went to school with, they saw me picking up another major. I didn't explain to them why. I think they knew. They started, a lot of them, picking up a second major. And I have discovered that quite a few of them wound up getting into other fields. One of them, he was Spanish, wound up teaching Spanish. He didn't even have an education degree. I think later he went and got it. But he got a job teaching just because he knew Spanish. They needed a Spanish interpreter or whatever, you know. He was a theology major. He wound up teaching Spanish. I know another guy, he was a close friend of mine at the time. I don't hear from him anymore because of the Trinity thing, you know, and because I left the church now, he's distanced himself. He's the guy, I think I told you a few weeks back. He asked me how I was spiritually, the last time we got together. I wasn't going to lie to him. I told him right out, I don't believe not only in the Adventist Church anymore, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Christianity. I haven't heard from him since, guys, and I guarantee you I never will again. He doesn't want to hear that. But anyway, he was a theology major. He isn't working in theology. I forgot what he was doing now the last time I saw him, but he got into a totally different field. He went back to school, got another degree. I lost touch with all the others, but I guarantee you, if I was to look them up and see where they're at now, they're either complete kiss asses, knowing the thing is fake, but kiss an ass because they want to keep their jobs, or they've left it all together. But anyway, this professor told me the reason that he was now teaching, I'm sure he's retired now, but the reason he was teaching instead of still being a pastor is because when that choice was offered to him, either disfellowship this guy or you're going to get defrocked, he settled for the latter. They defrocked him. So I had to respect him for that. He would rather have gotten fired than to throw this guy out unjustly. Good for him. Guy should have gotten a fucking medal. Instead, they shit all over him, destroyed him. He moved, left California. He knew somebody that worked at the college, you know, I attended, and they got him a job. And, you know, he continued to do that. But he was done with theology. Now, I never got into, any discussion along that line with him. But looking back now, I wish I had. Wish I had poked and prodded him a little further. But maybe he wouldn't have felt at liberty, to share that with me. But I bet if I could have gotten him in a back room, maybe sauced him up a little bit to loosen him up a little, although he wouldn't have drank either. That's forbidden. As a Christian, you're not supposed to touch But anyway, you know, if I could have gotten him loosened up, I bet he would have admitted that the whole thing is bullshit. I bet he knew. Just like this other professor I think I told you about. He was a theology major like myself years ago, worked as a pastor for a while, left it never to return. I got the impression from talking with him, not at the time really, but looking back now, I'm pretty sure that he knew the whole Bible thing was full of shit too. He didn't teach any religion classes. He taught Greek and business. He worked mostly in the business department. But, you know, just some of the comments he made looking back when I would talk to him. Because I remember he would tell me, Charlie, keep digging. I thought I found out the ultimate, you know, when I uncovered the Trinity being a fraud and Ellen White. We used to talk quite a bit about Ellen White. He too knew that she was a scam. Here he was, teaching at an Adventist college. He went to church every week. But I think he did it just as moral support for the students, you know. I don't think he really gave a shit about the religion itself. I think he knew it was a fraud. But he was someone that had a genuine heart. He cared about the students, you know. He went to bat for me on numerous occasions and tried to fuck me out of my scholarship that I won. He went to bat for me and assured that I got it. Decent guy. But I'll never forget when he told me, Charlie, keep digging. I'm like, oh, I already know Ellen White's a fraud. And, you know, he says, no, just keep digging. There's a lot more to uncover. Little did I know exactly what he meant by that. I know he must have been referring to the Bible itself. Keep digging. On another occasion, you know, he tapped me on the shoulder. He says, yeah, you're on the right track. I know you'll get there someday. And I'm like, get there? And I'm, at the time, I'm thinking, what is there to get to? I've already figured it out. So I thought, so I know what he was talking about. He had already long since written the Bible of off, you know, it's bullshit. Long since figured that out. It took me another frickin' 11 or so years. Anyway, back to our notes. But, you know, I looking back, I had a couple good experiences. There were a couple decent professors. But the decent ones, guys, none of them were in the theology. Well, actually, there was one. There was one guy in the theology department that I did have respect for. He was actually a pretty decent guy. He didn't come down with the iron fist with me. In fact, he gave me free rein in his classes. It was known that I got canned over the Trinity, and some kids were asking questions in class. He let me answer them. Didn't censor me at all. Technically, he was risking his job doing that. So I have to respect him for that. He let me speak my piece. I didn't take advantage of it either and ramble on, you know. I just answered the question as addressed. But he was good. He didn't interrupt. He's the guy, by the way, I think I mentioned this before, that I thought, you know, when I first got called in and they were raking me over the coals, I wanted to hear his opinion because I thought him to have been a pretty even tempered and fair person, and he was. I went into his office and I said, you know, I wanted his opinion. I said, well, what do you think of this, what they're doing to me? Do you support this? Do you think this is right? And that's when he said, look, Charlie, look, let me tell you something. It's no matter you're right, you're wrong. That's not the issue here. What matters is, if you want a job for church, you have to go along with what church says. Holy shit. Hey, at least he was honest. What he was telling me, though, is he himself was playing that game. He wanted the job working for the church, so he was going along with what church says. Because he knew he didn't go along with what the church says, he wouldn't have a job. I felt disgusted and yet exonerated at the same time when I left his office. Disgusted seeing that, yeah, it really is that bad. I suspected it was, but now to hear him tell me outright like that, I couldn't deny it anymore. So I felt disgusted, but at the same time, I felt exonerated. Yeah, just as I suspected. I kind of felt bad for the guy, too, because I knew he was a decent person down inside, but he was forced to play the game. Our whole goddamn society works that way, ladies and gentlemen. People are forced to play the game. Most people, whatever profession they're working in, they're just going along or getting along to go along or going along to get along. Just playing the game, knowing full well it's bullshit. Oh, there's some that don't know, sure, but the higher up the ladder you go, guys, the more likely it is that they know what's going on. What's sad is with a lot of them, they're not just going along with it. They are aggressively going along with it. They know it's full of shit and they don't care, and they'll come down on you with that iron fist. Knowing that the whole thing's full of shit, but they don't care because they're not going to risk their job and they're not going to allow you to say anything that could possibly risk their job too. They're not only not going to risk their job themselves, they're not going to allow you to do it. Anyway, I'm really rambling today. This is bad. Let me get back to the notes. In 1971, but you know, this tells us a lot about how society works as a whole, doesn't it? My experience was really just a macrocosm view of the bigger micro, a microcosm view of the bigger macrocosm world, you know, how it works in general. So in that sense, I'm glad for those experiences. It taught me a lot about how it really works. In the grander scheme of things, guys, the government and the media, you name it, the big corporate world, it's all the same. A bunch of fat cats walking around in three-piece suits that only have the appearance of legitimacy and professionality. They're all overpaid fucking liars. That's all they are. Some of them might not realize that, but most of them do, and they don't give a shit. They're looking at the fat paycheck at the end of the week, and they'll take you down, baby. Whatever it takes to shut you up, serve that system, keep it in place. I'm fucked up. That's our world. Our tribal world. All right, you guys, shut break. Hopefully, I don't know, ramble the last half hour, and go very fast.
Here is Majestic Ape, a performer at Comet Ping Pong.
And you all are very grateful that you are below a Subway sandwich shop.
Yes!
And Jerry is known to hang out down here. He likes the world sounds. Tamales.
And little boys.
And children.
I think I was his manager.
No.
Investigate Pizzagate.
Thank you.
right, guys, welcome back. Man, did you hear that Twisted Fuck's laugh? Don't you just want to cave his skull in, Mr. Elephantus, in the commercial there? You just want to cave his little fucking twisted shit skull in? Evil fucking little bastard. He will ride scot-free, guys, for the rest of his life. He will be well cared for, well protected, and still engaging in frickin' pedophilic orgies with the elites. Oh, yeah. They're still doing it. Not there. Oh, no. The spotlight's on that operation. But elsewhere. Oh, yeah. They're continuing right along. No interruption. Just had to relocate. Meet at a different spot now. Nothing's changed. Nothing will change. The Franklin, operation had the lid blown right off of it, wide open. The thing was blown, and yet, did it stop? Of course not. So many others, the McMartin School, on and on, guys. Doesn't matter how many times the lid gets blown off these things. They poo-poo it away, sweep it under the rug, pretend nothing happened, and the next day they're up and running, business as usual. God damn it. Like I said, guys, this problem, and indeed all the problems that we know are going on, are happening on a far grander scale than you'd care to realize. It's far worse than what even us in the know are aware of. I'll tell you now, it is. It's a lot worse. A hell of a lot fucking worse. World is absolutely pure evil, and again, look who runs it. How could it possibly be otherwise? You would have evil in this world anyway, like I said. Even without the tribe, there's always been evils in this world to contend with, but it wouldn't be anywhere near the level of evil that it is now, except the tribe you're running it. If they weren't in charge, guys, telling you, in spite of the evil things that would still be present in this world, death and disease, whatever, it would be a relative paradise compared to what it is now. Shit, I remember just a few decades ago, guys, in my childhood, it was, and it's not just because I was a kid and I was ignorant of how the world worked. No, it really worked a hell of a lot better. And, I remember talking to my grandfather about the days when he was a kid. It was even better then. You didn't lock your doors. Can you imagine living in that kind of world? You'd leave for the day. Be off, going places, doing errands, or go on a day trip with some friends, whatever. You didn't lock your house up. You didn't have to. You could leave the front door wide the frig open. It didn't matter. You could go to your neighbor's house if you ran out of milk. If they weren't there, they didn't care. You'd just go to the fridge, help yourself to their milk, come back, pour it in the cake mix, and then return the milk later, If they should pull in and see you going into their house or coming out of their house, all you had to say is, I just borrowed some milk. I'm making a cake. Oh, yeah, no problem. The next day, you might see them coming out of your house. Oh, I needed some sugar. Oh, yeah, hey, no problem. I owe you one. I took some of your milk yesterday. Nobody cared. No, you could trust people. Imagine living in that kind of fucking world. Holy shit. Not only trust them, but, you had a close friendship with them. A bonding, those days are gone, folks. They're gone. Absolutely gone. I don't even know if there's any bringing those days back at this point. I really don't. People have been so completely changed. Most people are absolute raging assholes. They're selfish. They're just downright hateful, hypocritical. I don't know, man. Hooray for me attitude. Greedy. Totally unsympathetic. And you can't get them to listen. You can't get people's attention and hold it for more than like 10 seconds. I think I told the story before. I was at a party once and everybody was telling jokes. Most of my jokes are stories. They require you to sit and listen. You know, I tried to tell a couple jokes, but I couldn't because people were losing interest. I stopped and I realized, forget it. I'm not even going to finish the joke. And nobody seemed to even realize that I stopped. They weren't paying attention. You can't hold their attention. When you tell a joke that requires you to think and follow along a story, you're going to lose them. Which is one of the reasons why, by the way, you can't wake people up to the reality of how fucked up this world is, because it requires too much thinking. You can't hold their attention long enough. You can't explain how fucked up things are in just a few short sentences. You've got to show them, hey, look, this is going on for a long time. You've got to first understand how they did it. They did it through central banking, and if you go back to 1694, the minute you mention that, fuck, forget it, you've lost them. You've lost them. You can't even go back to 1994. Never mind 1694. Guys, you forget it. Their comprehension level is that of a fucking five-year-old. It's so goddamn pathetic. And that's a good analogy, by the way. Like trying to explain trigonometry to a five-year-old. It's not going to happen. Doesn't matter, how... over now. That's nice. I'm doing the Italian thing, talking with my hands. I just knocked some shit off my desk, and where does it land? In my fucking trash. Now I gotta go through my trash later. But anyway, that's a bad habit, man. I've actually hit people doing that by accident. I talk with my hands all the time. I can't help it. It's a fucking one of those ingrained Italian things. Actually hit people doing it. Anyway, I forgot what I was talking about, but it's probably just as well because I'm rambling again. Let me get back to the notes. In 1971, Kaczynski moved to a remote cabin without electricity or running water in Lincoln, Montana. Now, right there, guys, I don't think that was part of his programming. I don't think the CIA wanted him to do that. I think he did it because he got disgusted with the whole mess. He did this right after he left teaching. He must have been so fed up with the whole damn system, he figured, you know what, I'm just going to go into seclusion. Maybe I'll do some contract work here and there to earn a living, but I'm just fed up with this world. He wanted to just get away from it all, go out in nature, and I don't blame him. I'd love to do that. I might do that one of these days. Buy a fucking cabin somewhere in the goddamn woods. All I'll have to worry about is relatively harmless fucking bears compared to the monsters out, on 2 feet in so-called civilization. I think I'd rather deal with wild animals, less threatening and less scary. Oh, I feel so at home out in the woods, man. I love it. It's just so quiet. It's relaxing. Plus, the ancient stoneworks, you feel like you're going back in time. You are, in a sense. I just love the feeling you get. You're away from the bullshit scumbags of the world. I don't even hear so much as a horn beep where I go. Way out in the middle of nowhere. A little scary once in a while when you hear some rustling sound off in the distance. You don't know what the hell. You're hoping it isn't a bear or something. Luckily, I've seen some deer. Foxes, whatever. But anyway, I don't blame him, guys. He went out, got himself a cabin, secluded. A lot of people think, oh, when you do that, you're crazy, you're socially inept. No. Another way you can call that socially inept is when you're so fed up with people, you don't even want to socialize with them anymore because, A, they're fucking stupid for the most part. And I'm not trying to act like that, you know, like I'm so much better than them, or that I'm even smarter than them. No, it's not really a matter of, you know, we who know what's going on in the world are smart and they're stupid. It's not that they're stupid. They're just malinformed and apparently quite happy with being malinformed. But it's not that they're stupid, dumb, incapable of understanding the world. Not physically or physiologically. They have the same brain capacity. But they are incapable because of their programming and their refusal to let go of that program. But that doesn't make people like Kaczynski crazy or socially incapable of, interacting. No, it's not that he's incapable. He doesn't want to. He got fed up with the whole damn system. I don't blame him for going out in the woods getting a shack. Fuck civilization. It's not civilized. In 1971, again, he moved to this remote area without electricity, without running water, Lincoln, Montana, where he lived as a recluse while learning survival skills in an attempt to become self-sufficient. So he wasn't even necessarily looking here to do any contracting work to earn a living. He wasn't fixing on earning a living at all. He wanted to learn survival skills to make it on his own. Why not? Isn't it sad that we've been so domesticated, if you will, that most of us guys really don't know how to do that anymore? We don't. We don't know how to live on our own. Live off the land. Our ancestors did it. We become too dependent on the system, on the grid, and look what it's done for us. It's run us ragged. All the hours we spend at the office, day after day after day, slaving away, and really, essentially having nothing to show for it, because the goddamn company we work for gives us shit wages, shit benefits. They're making tremendous amounts of money off of our labors. What the fuck, man? How screwed up is that? People slave away, and again, their money goes from their pocket right to someone else's who doesn't need it because they're already drowning in wealth. They, who need it themselves because they're barely scraping by, can't utilize it for themselves. It has to go to... You call this civilization? You call this an advanced fucking society? Oh, it's advanced, all right. They've really advanced in their ability to exploit people, to sucker people, to take advantage of people. Yeah, that's a real advancement, all right. So can you blame this guy for locking himself away in a cabin? Wouldn't that be great if we could all learn survival skills like that and say, you know what, fuck this whole system. But you know what, guys? They've got it arranged so that you can't even do that. Even if you have a cabin out in the woods, they're going to want to swoop down on you. He did this, of course, without people knowing, or at least he didn't want people to know that he had this cabin secluded. Because the minute you try to do that, no, somebody's going to be right there to say, wait, this is land owned by the state or by this, that, or the other town, or you have to pay taxes. And if you have to pay taxes, you have to get a job. Everything is set up to force you into the matrix, if you will, Oh, you want to live out in the wild off the land? Okay, but you still need to get a job and earn these fake fiat pieces of paper that people call money so that you can pay us taxes. It's designed to force you into the system so you can't live off the land as nature intended it. All animals do that, don't they, guys? They live off the land, except domesticated pets, but, you know, the way nature intended it. You don't see birds exploiting other birds. You can't build a nest here unless you pay us X amount of dollars every year, or bird seeds every year, or worms. Come on now, be little busy bees. Go out there and collect those worms for us. No, you don't see that happening. They leave each other alone. In some cases, they actually assist one another, but nevertheless, they're not exploiting each other, right? It's only within the human realm that we see this kind of shit going on, guys. Mankind is so advanced, his intelligence is so progressed beyond the animal kingdom that he can exploit others and suck off of them so he doesn't have to work to earn a living. That's what it amounts to, guys. Those at the top sit on their fat asses on a golf course all day because they found a way to exploit others and get them to labor for them so that their labor doesn't even enable them to live comfortable off the land. Their labor only enables the parasites at the top sucking off of them to live an extra comfortable life while they labor on their behalf, not their own. Think about that, man. How fucked up is that? That's how our whole society works. Most people go to work every day so that the fat cats with hooked noses can sit on their ass all day. The system is set up so that you work for others, and they call that civilization. They call that an advanced society. Fuck you and your advanced society. Right up your ass with the whole thing. I don't blame Kaczynski, guys. He did what we all should be doing. But they have you thinking that people who do that, there's something wrong with them. They're crazy. Well, it turns out the poor bastard was crazy. But why? He was made crazy, as we'll see. But how much of the bombing activities did he even do? We'll get into that later. I want to get ahead of myself here. Anyway, he decided, we're told, anyways, to start a bombing campaign after watching the wilderness around his home, we're told, being destroyed by development. This is the imagery, at least, that's been painted for us. In fact, ask me, guys, one of the reasons they made up this bullshit story, not just to demonize him and to explain how he went so crazy, but they want people to have an image in their head that anyone who goes out into the wilderness to build a shack and separate, you know, wants to separate himself from this fucked up society, this rigged game society, you know, this is where it leads. You're going to go crazy. In order to be a normal person, you need to function within society, not separate yourself from it. You see how they condition you to think that way. So this whole story they built around Kaczynski serves two purposes. Again, it makes him out to look, you know, to look like the guilty party here. Not the CIA, not the MKUltra mind control program. No, this guy, he was crazy. But it also demonizes people that figure out how fucked up this society is and want to get the hell away from it. To minimize, you know, the number of people that want to go that route. Prevent you from ever wanting to go down that road. Oh, I don't want to be a crazy like him. Why, I might wind up making bombs if I do that. Nope, the only way to function normally in this world is to work within society, or become a productive member of society, whatever the fuck that means. you're productive when you work a shit-ass wage-paying job that enables the hook-nosed bastards to fucking parasite off you. Anyway, looks like we got a caller on the line here. Welcome to the show, caller. I think it's Kyle.
I'm back.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah, just wanted to briefly throw in a few cents before the show ends. The Unabomber's manifesto. His manifesto, I remember reading it.
Yeah.
And I agreed with most of it, to be honest. Yeah. I thought it was spot on. What is very telling, though, is that, what was it, the New York Times that decided to comply with his demands to print the whole thing in its entirety. I thought that organizations like that wouldn't negotiate with terrorists, wouldn't cave into their demands, and print the whole frigging thing for everybody to read to just show how crazy these ideas were. So I'd say, yeah, it's a big psyop. Who knows if he even was the one who was behind those bombings necessarily.
Right.
And didn't they take his shack and put it in some kind of museum or something? It's all just a very, very strange story. And I like how it made its way into Goodwill Hunting, the story about the genius from Boston, and how it's how if you don't put genius on the right route, it's gonna head into that direction. And of course they don't mention all of the mind control experiments that he was undergoing at Harvard. And,
that
screwed him up big time. Apparently he was very upset about the way he had been manipulated in a kind of Milgram-like experiment. And, well, it's a strange story. I'm glad you're covering it. That's all, Charles. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I wasn't even intending to get into this. I was looking through my list of unbroadcast notes the other day, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, that'll tie in, everything else I've been talking about. All these things, guys, are staged. Even if they don't stage them, like I said, they'll take advantage of something that happens at random that they didn't plan. But no, most everything, guys, is planned from the beginning, and they manipulate it as a means of, swaying the public in whatever direction they want to sway them. It's so disgusting that people fall for the official horseshit stories every time. No critical analysis ever. Anyway, from 1978 to 1995, Kaczynski sent, we're told, 16 bombs to targets, including universities and airlines, killing, as I said, 3 people, injuring 23. Kaczynski sent a letter, again, so we're told, just like Kyle was just mentioning, to the New York Times on April 24th, 1995, wherein he promised, quote, to desist from terrorism if the Times or the Washington Post published his manifesto. So there you go. This definitely was designed, guys, to demonize people who want to separate themselves from society, because they knew that as time went on and they began to fuck with you more and more, that you would want to do that very thing. Say, you know what? Fuck this system. I'm tired of busting my ass and then have nothing to show for it. Go to school all these years, shell out all this money, go into debt that I'll be paying off for the next 20 fucking years, and yet I can't even find a job that pays a livable fucking wage. By the time I graduate, my job that I wanted to get went over to China or fucking India. And the few jobs left here are taken over by illegal aliens. No. They knew people were going to want to go that route, so they had to demonize people like that. You can bet your sweet ass that this guy didn't write that letter. Just like, the Berkowitz letters taunting the media weren't written by Berkowitz. It wasn't his fucking handwriting. By the way, that's a good reason why they chose a fellow tribesman to take the fall for this, guys. for those who look under the rug and see that the official story is bullshit, that he didn't commit most of those murders. Maybe he didn't commit any of them, although he did confess to two of them. But who knows? Maybe he was MK Ultra to do that. Who knows, guys? Who the fuck knows? But my point is, they probably picked a tribe member so that they could always say, "See, you say the Jews are evil and they're behind everything. You're over here telling me on the one hand that this guy who is a Jew didn't do it." You see my point. Jack Rubenstein. You're saying they murdered the guy and yet he was a Jew. So how can you say Jews are behind it? You see the little game they play. They'll set one of their own people up who was probably a problem for them anyway, or just someone that was awkward and they didn't really care about. Okay, he's expendable. Let's have him take the fall, and then we can later say that, you know, see, that shows that Jews aren't behind everything. He was a victim himself. Oh, yeah. Look at all the mileage they get from shit like that. Anyway, in his Industrial Society and Its Future, also called the Unabomber Manifesto, he argued, or so we're told, who knows if he even fucking wrote this, he argued that his bombings were extreme but necessary to attract attention to the erosion of human freedom necessitated by modern technologies requiring large-scale organization. They always got to be there, guys, to sabotage, you know, people who are concerned about the environment. I mean, look at goddamn Agenda 21. You know, look at the UN under the guise of advancing the cause of protecting the environment. Look what they're doing. They're stealing people's land or getting you to want to sell it at, you know, the lowest dollar because, there's a little... wet spot on the damn thing. We got to make it a preserve now. I can't develop the land. They won't let me do it. But then later, after you sell it at the lowest dollar, the corporations move down and they're able to build on it. Anyway, guys, I won't ramble so much.
The issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent based on what you're seeing there in Germany.
This is a very good point because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration.
Well, there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, non-stop. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.